Baruchim HaBoyim, welcome back to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha's Vayeshev. Wonderful to be able to learn the Parsha together, and hopefully, as we say each and every week, the Divrei Torah will give us chizuk, and will allow it to permeate our Shabbos Kodesh. We'll share the words of Torah with others, and bring about Kedusha to our Shabbos. We're very grateful to our sponsors. Like each and every week, the shiur is sponsored L'Zeicha Nishmas U'L'Ilei Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel. Be'ezras Hashem, their neshama tahira zolhobin, a lichtige gan Eden, the shiur should be said L'Ilei Nishmasam. The shiur is also being sponsored this week by Chanita and Miriam Sastrin and Bela Kleiner. We're very, very grateful to them for their sponsorship. They're sponsoring the shiur as a zechus refuah shalema for all of the chaylim and klal yisrael. They should be zeicha refuah hanefesh and refuah haguf. Be'ezras Hashem, everyone should see refuahs, yeshuahs, nechomais. And they're also sponsoring it in honor of my wife and myself. We're very, very appreciative to Chanita and to Miriam and to Bela for their sponsorship. It should bring them and all of our kehila kol habrochos haksuvos b'Torah. If you take a look at the pasuk, when Yehuda has a suggestion of how to save Yosef, the pasuk tells us, Perek Lamed Zayin, pasuk chavav, Vayomer Yehuda eloch echav ma'beta kinaga esachinu. What gain will there be if we kill our brother? And that's when the suggestion came up to have him sold. A number of years ago, we mentioned the pshat. I'd like to speak it out and to add a bit onto it from the Pardes Yosef. The Pardes Yosef brings down something so powerful. Please open up your hearts to his pshat. These words, al pidrush, ma betza kinar gesachinu, could be understood in a different fashion. Betza, Beis Tzadi Ayin, is Rashi Telus and stands for Boiker, Tzahirayim, and Erev, morning, afternoon, and nighttime, which is, of course, a reference to the three tefillos that we daven, Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. And essentially, the question we have to ask ourselves, says the Pardes Yosef, is, Ma Betza, what are our tefillos worth? Again, betza, beis, tzadi, ayin, boiker, tzarayim, erev, referring to shachris, mincha, ma'ariv. What are our tefillos worth? Kinara yesachinu. If all we do is kill our brothers, and by that it means, if we have such sinas chinam, if we speak lashon hara, rechilus, einas dor, maitzi shemra, and in that sense we kill our brothers, then what are our tefillos worth? In fact, this pshat in the Pardes Yosef, you see in the beginning of Sefer Chofetz Chaim, when the Chofetz Chaim, in the beginning of his Sefer, he speaks about this concept. Sometimes a person envisions that his words of Torah and words of Tefillah are elevating to Shamayim, that they're being added to his spiritual bank account and his chusim are accruing greater and greater. But if the same mouth that's offering words of Torah and words of Tefillah is the exact same mouth that will use words that stab somebody in the back, that will speak about a person, Lashon Hara and Rechilus, then you're envisioning all of your words of Torah and Tefillah making it to a particular heavenly destination. They're not getting there. In fact, the Lashon of the Chofetz Chaim is they're dangling in midair. They're suspended. So from where is our salvation going to come? Our salvation comes from our Torah, from our tefillah. But if our words of Torah and tefillah, could you imagine? Do we realize how frightening that concept is? That our words of Torah and tefillah that we envision are making it to a specific spiritual destination, and they're never getting there, or at least not if it's the same mouth that's involved in Lashon Hara and Rechilus. They're suspended somewhere in between, or they're not being credited to us. So from where will our salvation come? And that's what the Pardes Yosef is telling us. Ma betza. What are our three tefillos and our davening worth, ki narag esachinu, if we kill each other and we can't get along? In fact, if you take a look, that's why it's brought down, I believe, from the Arizal, who says that in the morning before you start davening, that a person says, I am being mekabel upon myself, the mitzvah say, of the ahavta l'reacha kamoicha. Says the Pardes Yosef, that's the pshat. Because before you begin to daven, you take upon yourself the ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, ani Hashem. And now that you truly will work on having feelings for a fellow yid as you do yourself, and have true avas chinam, now you could begin davening in your tefillah's worth, and will make it to Shemayim, to your heavenly bank account. It's a pshat we once said before, but it's so important to repeat it and remember it again. Ma betza kinarag esachinu. If we can't get along and we have the constant Lashon Hara, Rechilas, and Sinas Chinam, that our tefillos, our berkits, our ayim, and erev, what's going to be with those tefillos? And that's why the Chavetz Chaim tells us it cannot possibly be that the same mouth that speaks words of Lashon Hara can have the words of Torah and tefillah send and make it to Shemayim. I think this is a pshat that we can use to take a look at another pasuk a bit earlier, Lamed Zayin Yud Ches. A bit earlier in Lamed Zayin Yud Ches, we're being told that the brothers actually see Yosef from a distance. The pasuk says, "Vayiru Oisei Meirachik." They saw him from a distance. And a few words later on, the pasuk says, "Vayisnaklu oisei lahamisai," that they conspired against him to kill him. Meirai v'rabois, I listened to a meiridik pshat that I heard. The Nedvarna Rebbe, the previous Nedvarna Rebbe, says something so powerful on these words, and I think this is a beautiful segue from what we just said from the Pardes Yosef. The Pardes Yosef explained that if there's only sinna, and that we speak about one another, then what is our Torah worth? What is our tefillah worth? Memela, we explained that we have to be mekabel v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha. I believe we could use the following pshat from the Nedvarna Rebbe as a tool and a stepping stone to help us reach that level that we spoke out from the Arizal. The pasuk says, "Vayiru oisei meirachay." They saw him from a distance. These words could be understood homiletically in the following fashion. Sometimes, perhaps we have feelings towards a person of disdain, or we don't have much tolerance or feelings towards that person, certainly not of ahava. The Nedvarna Rebbe says perhaps it stems from the fact that we didn't take time to get to know the person well enough. Sometimes we could be so judgmental and we know so little about the person. We think we have the whole situation all shot up. I have it all figured out. As we said a number of months ago, everybody you meet is going through something that you know nothing about. I beg the tzibor, the ones in the heichal, the ones listening right now, the ones who will hear the recording, etch those words and sear them into your heart. Everyone you meet is going through something that you know nothing about. So how could you be so judgmental when there are so many things that you don't know? And when you don't take time to get to know the person, then it's a lot easier not to have patience or tolerance or feelings of love towards them. And that's the way he teaches the pasuk. Yes, this pasuk is speaking about the shvatim, but we'll apply it to ourselves. Look inside once again, Lamed Zayin Yuches. Vayiru oisei meirachoik. When you only see somebody meirachoik from a distance, you don't take time to get to know them. You only see them from a distance means that you barely know very much about that person. So there are going to be things that bother you very quickly. And then the Pasuk says, Vayisnaku oisei lahamisei. You'll want to kill the person, meaning you won't have any patience or tolerance or any feelings of love towards that person. Why not? Because your entire relationship with that person is meirochoik. Meirochoik. You didn't do anything to get to know the person. How could you be so judgmental? You know what they're going through? You took time to find out? But if you contrast that in a couple of weeks, what's the opening pasuk of the parsha? The pasuk says, Vayigash Elov Yehuda. Vayigash is from the word Hagosha, to get close. Vayigash Elov. When you're willing to get close and you're willing to find out and to learn and to take time to really see what it is that a person's going through, there we see eventually there was Yachad Shiftei Yisrael. And maybe that's a way to achieve the level that the Arizal speaks about, that the Pardes Yosef mentioned. We have this pshat from the Nedvarne Rebbe. We can't possibly shots up everything about the person. We didn't take time to get to know them or what they're going through. You know what their challenges are? As long as we don't take that time, and it's always a relationship of meirachoik, meirachoik, the end result is sure to be vayisnaku oisei lahamisa. That's what's going to happen. Masha'en kein vayigashay love. I want to develop a relationship with a person. Maybe there are things I didn't understand and I wouldn't have been so judgmental. That vayigash, which is the antithesis of meirachoik, brings about feelings of yachad shiftei Yisrael, feelings of v'yahavta l'recha kamoicha. Now you're ready to daven. Now you're ready, as the Chavetz Chaim says, to have your words of tefillah and your words of Torah indeed ascend to Be'ezras Hashem, our proper spiritual bank account. Now I'd like to take this word from the Nedvarne Rebbe and build on that. How does one accomplish these feelings of vayigash and ridding themselves of meirachoik? How? Who? Practically. The truth is that we mentioned the following pshat this past Shabbos. And so for those who heard it Shabbos morning in the drasha, and I just had the schus to write it up for the Chanukah issue in the Inyan magazine of the Hamodia newspaper, but there was an added dimension we said on Shabbos Kodesh, and so I'd like to go ahead and say over exactly what we said in the drasha, exactly as I put it in the upcoming Chanukah article, but I feel that it's something we could hear again. And it's based on the pasuk that says, Perek Lamed Zayin Pasuk Tezvav. We are told, Vihine Soye Basode, that Yosef was wandering in the field. Right before that, the pasuk says, Vayimtzeu Ish. And of course, if you take a look at Rashi, we pointed out on Shabbos, the Ish that found him is Gavriel. If you take a look in last week's parsha, when it says that Yaakov encountered a man and struggled with him, Vayeyovik Ish Imoi, Rashi identifies that man as Saru Shel Esav, the pinnacle of evil. And the question is why, if on both occasions it uses the same word Ish, then what prompted Rashi to identify the Ish last week? In fact, this pshat we mentioned last year as well, but not with the addition we're about to say. What prompted Rashi to identify the Ish last week as Saru Shel Esav, and the Ish this week as the angel, the Malach Gavriel? The Halig Esanza, the Divrei Chaim, tells us something so spectacular. Please open up your heart to the pshat of the Halig Esanza Zechusa Yogan Aleinu, because in this week's parsha, when it says that Yosef is lost wandering in the field, it says, Vayimtzeu Ish. Someone stopped to see, how could I be of assistance? Ma tevakesh, what is it that you're seeking? What can I do to help? When you stop because you see a fellow Yid needs your help, that's behaving like the Malach Gavriel. That's holy and that's angelic. But in last week's Parsha, essentially Yaakov Avinu was asking, I need a bracha. And what was it that the man answered? I have to go. I don't have time. When you're too busy to help somebody else, when you don't have time to help somebody else, that's behaving like Sarah Shalesov. That's the paradigm of evil. Pile, 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 ployim is Edvard. When you don't have time for someone, it's like being and behaving like Sarah Shalesov. When you look for someone and you see what they need assistance in, that is truly a person who is behaving like the angel, the Malach Gavriel. That's a well-known pshat. On Shabbos, I added the following, and I repeat it for this reason. When I was reading the Pasuk, I wondered, why does the Pasuk in this week's parsha say the word Ish a second time? Vayimtze'ehu Ish, an Ish which we just defined as the Malach Gavriel found Yosef wandering. And then right away the Pasuk says, Vayisholeu ha'ish, the man asked him, what is it that you seek? Who are you looking for? Why repeat the word Ish a second time? Why didn't the Pasuk simply state, Vayimtze'ehu Ish, Vayisholeu? Why repeat the word Ish? So on Shabbos we suggested, perhaps the Pasuk is teaching us, sometimes when you see someone that is despondent, they're suffering in whatever way it might be, and they need words of encouragement, you might erroneously think, well, the only one who could really make a difference is if those words of encouragement come from somebody who's a lofty person, somebody who's a prominent person. That lofty or prominent special person is the one, so to speak, who could help the person get out of the rut, help build up and encourage the person. But me, I'm a regular person. I'm an ordinary fellow. Are my words really going to make a difference? And a person could mistakenly think, if I'm not someone lofty or special, then no. As an ordinary, regular person, my words can't make a difference. Perhaps that's why the poster goes out of its way to repeat the word Ish a second time to tell you, don't make that mistake. Any Ish. Any Ish. Any regular, ordinary person has the ability, when they see someone else that needs words of encouragement, someone else who needs chizuk, you be that Ish. You be that person. So you think your words won't make a difference and you're only regular, ordinary, whatever it might be. The Torah repeats the word Ish to say anybody, anybody, anybody. Because your words to that person will make you the Malach Gavriel in their eyes. And that's why the Torah perhaps repeats the word Ish to tell us anyone could become the lifeline for someone in need. Oy, how many people could we help if we believe this pshat? How many people would we be there for if we saw someone that needed words of encouragement, that could use something to pick them up, cheer them up? Anybody could be that Ish. I'll tell you, I mentioned these words. I just said it last night in a shir. And someone came over to me after I said this vart, after I said the shir, and they honed in on this vart. And the person wanted to share with me how true it is. This person mentioned that they were going through a difficult time. And they were feeling that they needed validation. They were feeling alone. And they simply sent a text to someone, or somebody was responding to a text of theirs, and the person responded to the one who's telling me this story with two letters on the text, TY, obviously standing for thank you, with a smiley face. That person told me it changed the trajectory of their entire week. Just knowing that somebody took a moment to express thank you, and they didn't even say thank you, they just say TY, and the emoji of a smiley face. Now, of course, this shouldn't be confused with the share we've given on other occasions where you shouldn't replace developing and cultivating a relationship with words with merely texting. But the point is, this person mentioned to me last night, and I saw how sincerely and genuinely they meant it, the trajectory of their entire week was changed just from getting those three letters, the TY with the emoji, how wonderful it made them feel. You see, because the one who sent it may have thought of that about themselves, I'm only an ish. Can I make a difference? I want that person to know, to the one who came to me last night, you became their Malach Gavriel. How wonderful would I feel if those here and listening and those who will hear the recording will spread this message. Don't view yourself as merely an ish, because to that other person, you are their lifeline. And you're the one that shows them just how much you care. The truth is that this brings to mind a vart from the beginning of the parsha. If you take a look, it's interesting, all the pshatim we're doing tonight, you'd almost think it wasn't Erev Chanukah, it would be Erev Purim. We're going v'nahapachu. If I'm not mistaken, every pasuk that we've done, we then did before, like we're mamash starting from the end and working, not the Erev Purim, but at least the way we're giving the shir with the sequence of the psukim, it seems to be. When Yaakov Avinu was sending out Yosef to check on the welfare of his brothers, the pasuk tells us in the beginning of the parsha, he asked them to please see Shalom Achecha and Shalom Hatzoyim. Take a look, Lamed Zayin Yudalid. Lamed Zayin Yudalid, the pasuk says, Vayomer lo, he told him to see Shalom Achecha and Shalom Hatzoyim. I remember many years ago, perhaps 20, 25 years ago, seeing the following shaila. Why does the pasuk repeat the word Shalom, the welfare and the peace? Why didn't it simply group together that Yaakov told Yosef to check Shalom Achecha and Shalom Hatzoyim? Why does it say a separate word Shalom for Achecha and one again for Tzoyim? Why not just group it together? Listen to a myridic explanation. Yaakov Avinu was telling Yosef, and it's really a message for all of us, certainly Tavshin Pei Gimel, to realize the definition of Shalom Achecha and the definition of Shalom Hatzoyim are worlds apart from each other. And therefore, they couldn't be grouped together under one banner of Shalom Achecha Vitzoyim. What's the definition of Shalom Hatzoyim, sheep being at peace? Well, if I have sheep and you have sheep and mine have where to gaze and from where to drink, but yours don't, what does that do with me? My animals are fine. They're satiated. Their thirst has been quenched and they have what to eat. Yours don't have. What does that have to do with me? Yaakov Avinu was telling Yosef as a reminder to Klal Yisrael, that concept that I have and therefore I'm not bothered if you are lacking, that's good for animals. That's Shalom Hatzoyim. Over Shalom Achecha. Shalom Achecha means if I have, but you don't, do I truly have? And that's something that we certainly have to keep in mind. For sheep, it's okay that I have and you don't. But by the very essence and definition, Shalom Achecha, that's why they couldn't be grouped together. Never make a mistake, because Shalom Achecha means that if you have, but someone else doesn't, are you truly happy? Of course not. And that's something to keep in mind, that the definition of Shalem Achecha is what brings about what we said from the Dvarner Rebbe, that it won't be Meirochik, but it will be Vayigash. Realizing this concept of Shalem Achecha, how we have to be there one for the other, should give us the impetus to realize we can all be that Ish. We can be the one that serves as the Malach Gavriel for the other person. And as we said when we started, when we accomplish that level, then indeed we don't have to worry about Ma Betza, because our tefillos and our Torah indeed ascend to the proper place that they were intended, because of our Ava Schina, one did for another. And that brings me to an extraordinary Dvar Torah from the Ponavizharov. I'm so appreciative, so grateful. I saw this pshat in Penina Mala Torah. It's such a fabulous pshat in the Ponavizharov, Zecher Tzadok V'Kodesh Livracha. You take a look. Lamed Zayin Chaf Aleph. You see, I felt badly we were going back and back and back. Any further back, we would have been in Parshas Vayishlach. The mail, I wanted to go forward a bit. Take a look at Lamed Zayin Chaf Aleph. Vayishmar Reuven Vayatzileu Miyodom. Reuven rescues him. Reuven saves Yosef from his fate. Listen to an extraordinary pshat from the Ponavizharov. As you saw in tonight's shir, there were two brothers that attempted to save Yosef from his fate. Reuven, that we mentioned earlier, Yehuda, we spoke about that for a number of minutes. But really, the only one that's recognized as the one who made the attempt and the one who receives credit for his effort is Reuven. In fact, if you take a look, the Gemara in Makkos, Dav Yudah Amud Aleph brings our attention to this and explains, because he was the one that was the first to initiate the rescue of Yosef. Mamela, the credit is given only to him. But one has to wonder, Yehuda made an attempt. Yehuda was convincing his brothers to sell Yosef. And for that, he doesn't deserve credit? For those good intentions, he shouldn't receive that reward? Listen to a pshat from the Ponavizharov. The Ponavizharov tells us, did you just say that they both saved a yid, saved their brother? What's your definition of saving someone? Says the Ponavizharov, take a look. When Reuven suggested to save him and how to save him, the Pasuk says that his goal in saving Yosef from the hands of his brothers, read the last few words of Pasuk Chav Beis, Lahashivoy el Oviv. I want him to be returned to his father. That means his goal wasn't merely in saving only Yosef. He wanted to return Yosef to the stature that he used to have in Ruchlius. Yosef used to sit with Yaakov Avinu in the Beis Medrash and learn Torah. And that's where he felt that Yosef belonged. That's where Reuven wanted to return him to. It wasn't merely Hatzalah of Gashmius. More importantly, he was also concerned for Hatzalah of his Ruchnius. What a pshat! The Pasuk says, Lahashiva el Ovid, Reuven wanted to return him to that spiritual state to learn Torah. That's Taka, the definition of saving a Yid. By Yehuda, when we speak about his goal was to have Yosef sold and not have him killed. Of course, make no mistake, that would have spared the life of Yosef. But at that point, it would have been a life without Torah. Yosef would be alive, that's true. But at that point, it would be saving him. The Hatzalah Gashmi is not necessarily the Hatzalah Ruchnius. Now, in truth, Yehuda saw the situation differently than Reuven. If Yehuda felt that he could have returned Yosef to his father's embrace in the Torah, he certainly would have done so. It's just that Yehuda did what he felt he could do at that time. But says the Panavizharov, you know what it means to save a person? Don't ignore their spiritual needs. To save a fellow yid means not only a hatzala in guf, but a hatzala in nefesh. And that's the Panavizharov's explanation for our yid. Reuven is singled out. Lahashiva el aviv, to return him to his father, because it's through the Torah and the limud haTorah and the schus and the protection of the Torah, that's truly what it means to save a fellow yid. It goes very beautifully with a pshat that we mentioned from the Radomsky Rebbe. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, Im lamadata taira harbe al tachazik taiva la'atsucha ki l'kach metzarta. Literally, it means if you've learned a lot of Torah, don't go ahead and, so to speak, give credit to yourself and pat yourself on the back. Ki l'kach metzarta. That's why you were created. You were created to learn Torah. The Radomsky Rebbe says a different shot. Im lamadata taira harbe, if you have been privileged to learn a lot of Torah, Al tachazik toiv ala atzmocha. The word toiv is always a reference to the Torah. Ein toiv ela Torah. Al tachazik toiv ala atzmocha. Don't hold that goodness. Don't hold the Torah ala atzmocha for yourself. Spread it. Share it. Get somebody excited with a geshmak of our Torah. Ki lakach matzarta. That's why you were created. And if you rearrange the letters of Netzart, it spells the word Sinaira. It's like a funnel, to funnel all of the goodness of the Torah to a fellow Yid. You have Torah? You, Baruch Hashem, have a Torah-dick lifestyle? Don't hold that goodness for yourself. That's selfish. Spread it, spread it, spread it. Ki lakach Netzart, that's why you were created. And that's mamish what happened with Reuven. In wanting to save his brother Yosef, it would not have been only a hatzala of the guf. It would have been a hatzala of the nefesh, back to his father, Lashiva El Ovim, to the Torah that he learned. That is truly saving a fellow yid. Perhaps, in conclusion, we could translate the words that when he was essentially saving Reuven, not only beguf, but in nefesh, by reuniting him with his father and the Torah learning, that was Reuven's intention. Maybe ultimately what happens is, lahashivay el aviv, and aviv could also, of course, be a reference to Avinu Sheva Shemayim. When you return that lost soul, when you return the person, not only in guf, but in nefesh, ultimately, what you've accomplished is lahashivay el aviv avinu shebashamayim. You're bringing the Ribbono shel Olam. You're bringing our Father in Heaven back, His children. I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, as you see time and time and time and time again in this week's parsha, we see this idea of being the Ish, being there for V'yahavta Re'echa Kameicha, getting to know a person, being the one that's matzil another nefesh. Let us do this again and again and again, so that ultimately we'll be zeicha to bring ourselves and others back lahashiva ya'oviv to Avinu Shebashamayim, and to be a nachas ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.